Good to see everybody this morning. Good to have all of our visitors with us. We have family, we have friends that are visiting today, and grateful that you could be here today. Max asked me before he got up if I had any extra announcements, and I just gave him a blank look, and he mistook my blank look, which is always there, for no, I didn't, but it was always also because I was blank, and I did forget to find the time of the ladies' night this Saturday. But if you'll talk to Mevlin or Vicky, they'll give you that. So there will be a ladies' night this Saturday evening, and they'll have all the details for that. And the other was, we did find out on Jeff Nicox's time for her funeral. For those of you who weren't familiar with that, Jeffna did pass away this past week of a very unexpected illness, and her funeral will be held this Tuesday, and it will be at the Baptist Church at 11 o'clock, and they're going to have a meal after that if any of y'all would like to take a dish for the family on that. But we do want to remember them in our prayers. We were talking last week about the book of Haggai, and we're talking specifically about this idea of giving careful thought to our ways. And I was thinking about how there are things that just kind of surprise us sometimes. I don't know if you've ever stepped on a scale after not looking at one for a few weeks or a few months, and only to be surprised. I don't know how many times I've looked at one and I thought, oh, that's not working, but it was. Or if you've ever got your credit card bill and you've just been paying the minimum payments for a while and hadn't really been paying attention, and then one day you just take a good look at it and you realize how far in debt you are, and then you start looking at things and you realize that you're paying 20% interest on a steak dinner that you had 7 months ago. And again, these things catch us by surprise, but they shouldn't. The reason they do is because we sometimes fail to give careful thought to things we ought to be thinking about. I want to look back to the book of Haggai. If you want to look at there briefly, we used this to introduce the lesson last week, and I want to use it again this week because it really does speak to that, this idea of giving careful thought to our ways. In Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2, God starts to talk to the people. They have been in exile in Babylon, and they've come back, and they should have been taking care of his things. They should have been working on the temple, but instead they were taking care of their own houses. Nothing wrong with taking care of your own house. But if you take care of your things before you take care of God's things, you're out of order. And God expects us to give careful thought to that. So, in verse 2 of Haggai chapter 1, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but they're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. You ever feel that way? I'm often wondering where all my money went. We sometimes do that. And what God is trying to get them to think about is this. Since they are not thinking of God first, they cannot be blessed. It's a principle. You may get along for a while. You may think you're doing really well, but you cannot be blessed by God if you're not putting His things first. This happened on the first day, by the way, of the sixth month of their year. Now on the 24th day of the ninth month of that year, 111 days later, He comes to them in Haggai chapter 2. And in verse 15, He says this, "Now give careful thought to this. From this day on, consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple." Well, what had happened 111 days earlier after God had chastised them for not putting first things first, they started thinking about what they needed to be doing, and then 23 days later, they started doing it. they started building the Lord's temple. And so for 3 months, they had been building the Lord's temple, but they still hadn't been blessed. And so notice what God says. After he says, give careful thought, he says in verse 16, when anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I'll bless you. Now, I really like that because it hits the heart of the matter. And I don't think there's a single one of us here who cannot say that we have gotten so distracted from what we're living on this world for or in this world for that we really did forget to put God first. And when we do, we're not blessed. And sometimes, even when we do start to put God first and we do God's things, it's going to take a while. I suspect for several reasons. It's kind of like not having done your math homework all year. It may take you a few weeks before you get caught up. It may even take a few months before you get caught up. When you step on that scale and are shocked to find out that there's extra you that wasn't there a month or two ago, it may take a few months to take care of that. When you look at your credit card bill and there's a lot of things on there that you wish weren't, it may take a while to clean that up. It may take a while for you to notice it. It took 111 days from the time God came to him. But after they had proved to God that they were ready to work for him and continue the work for him, he said, you write this day down, because from this day on, I'm going to bless you. And so we have this principle that I believe if we can keep just firmly in our minds, that really should direct us in life. When you don't do God's things in God's ways, you cannot be blessed. It's not because God doesn't love you, but God's not going to reward you for poor behavior any more than you're going to reward your children for poor behavior. When you do, bad things happen. But once we start putting first things first, even though it might take a while to get our life back in order, and maybe some of us have been kind of out of order for years, it will eventually come back into order, and the blessings are going to flow. But we have to give careful thought. The other passage that we looked at to introduce last week's lesson, or in last week's lesson, was found in 2 Chronicles chapter 19. And it was about King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat was one of those rare kings who was really good from beginning to the end of his reign. At the beginning of his reign, he had the priests go all the way throughout the land to all the cities and to the towns. And he had the priests take the book of the law and he had them teach all the people about the law. They didn't need to come to the priests to find out what they needed to be doing. The priests needed to get the law into their hands so that they could know from reading the law what they needed to do. And that has everything to do with the lesson that we're going to be looking at today and what we looked at last week, because this is a lesson on your finding out what you need to do. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 4, this is several years after that, it says, Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim, and turned them back to the Lord, the God of their fathers. He appointed judges in the land in each of the fortified cities of Judah, and he told them, consider carefully what you do, because you're not judging for man, but for the Lord, who is with you whenever you give a verdict. Now let the fear of God be upon you, judge carefully, for with the Lord our God there is no injustice or partiality or bribery. Mentioned last week how different life would be if those who were in charge, those who were the lawmakers in our land, lived in such a way that they were judging carefully with no injustice or partiality or bribery. If every judge from the lowest municipal judge up to the Supreme Court were fearing God and then making their judgments based on that with no injustice or partiality or bribery, how different our land would be. But think for a moment how different your life would be if you had God's laws before you and were living in a way with no injustice or partiality or bribery. If you are living well before God, would not your life be better? And in this instance, as in Haggai, he starts out by saying, consider carefully. And that really is what this lesson is about. Think about where you're at before God right now. Have you been relying on others to tell you what you need to be thinking about God? People are so ready to listen to a preacher or to a pastor or to a priest or to mom and to dad. And there's nothing wrong with listening to mom and dad. I don't want to give you that impression. But there's going to come a point in your life, I'm not sure what point that is, where you better be searching the scripture yourself. If you're relying on me, you're making a big mistake. I've read through the Bible, I suppose, I don't know, dozens and dozens of times. I'm convinced that if you preach improperly, that you'll be judged for that. So I try to be careful. But that doesn't mean I'm not messing up. That doesn't mean I don't have some kind of a prejudice or a bias when I read. And you won't know that. And if I mislead you and you're relying on me, guess where you're going to end up? The reason that we need to carefully consider the Word of God is because we're going to be judged by the Word of God on that final day. But it's not just that. We're going to live our life based on with the blessings from God if we live in His way, or with the curses of God that come to those who refuse to live in His way. And so we need to consider carefully. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus gives a parable or an example that should be very familiar to us. Luke chapter 8 and verse 16, he says, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar, or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light." One of the things about this Christian life that he is introducing the whole world to, that is going to come into being the moment that he raises from the dead after he's died on the cross and been in the tomb for 3 days, they need to understand that they need to let their light shine. Christianity needs to be something that radiates from you. Is Christianity in your life a well-kept secret? Would your friends be shocked to find out that you're a Christian? Or would they just merely suspect maybe that you're a Christian, but they really can't tell by the way that you live and by the way that you act and by the way that you talk? We're letting our light shine to glorify God, by the way, not to somehow puff us up and allow people to say, "Why, what a good guy or what a good gal she is." It's so that God can be glorified. But he points out, you don't light a lamp inside and then cover it. Otherwise, you can't see. When we have the light of Christ within us, we can't cover that. And so Jesus goes on to say in verse 17, "There's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, nothing concealed that will not be known or brought into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen." And now we have this instruction at the very outset, as Christianity is about to begin. We still need to consider carefully. But in this instance, he says, consider carefully how you listen. Are you considering carefully the Word of God? Or is it just something that you do on Sunday, this idea of Christianity? Do you worship with the church on Sunday, or do you go to church? You see, the difference between the two of those is in one instance, you think this is somehow your religion. In the other, you're worshiping with a body of Christians that God added to the church when they were obedient to His pattern of salvation. Are you even familiar with the pattern of salvation? Have you considered it carefully? Or have you been listening to other people about what the plan of salvation is? There's a reason that we worship in the way we do. Why do we do that? There's a pattern for worship in the New Testament. Do we consider that carefully? And maybe even more important than those things, although there's nothing more important than salvation, is this. Are you considering the pattern, the words that God has to guide you every day you get up? Do you know what's sin and what isn't sin? Do you think that somehow you can sin and God will excuse you? Do you think that you cannot do right and God will excuse you? Because that's what was happening during the time where Haggai the prophet was preaching and was prophesying. That's why God sent him to him, to tell him, you need to be considering carefully what's going on. There's a reason your life's fallen apart. And it's because you're not taking serious my things first. I also want to say this very, very plainly. There will be times in your life, even when you're living well and considering well, that bad things will happen to you. People still get sick. People still let you down. People that are close to you will die. There will be people that will act out and cause you pain that you may not deserve. If by becoming a Christian, all of a sudden 100% of your life was just perfect, people would become Christians for insurance. I don't want anything bad to happen to me, so I'm going to become a Christian so everything's good from now on. God doesn't want fair weather servants. He wants us to serve him during good times and during bad times. But if we'll consider carefully his words and do them, he's going to bless us. We'll still suffer from time to time. Sin has a consequence. Sometimes people in your life will sin and you'll suffer for that. And sometimes life's just a test, is it not? He wants to know if we'll serve him. Are we going to do that? Are we considering carefully what we're doing? If we will, there's another thing that we need to consider, and that's the fact that the blessings will flow. Psalms chapter 1. I've always liked this chapter. It's one that uplifts. Blessed is the man. Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man. That means happy. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. How can you tell if you're with mockers or sinners or with the wicked? How can you even tell what wickedness is? Well, you go to the law of the Lord. In the Old Testament, it was the old law. In the New Testament, it's called the law of Christ, the law that gives liberty, the law of God. It's still a law. Are you considering the law that God has for you now from the New Testament? Are you considering it carefully? The writer of this psalm, I suspect it's David. We're not told who it was that authored Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, but we do know this. It was inspired by God. So God's the author, is he not? And he says that if we delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night, we'll be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. But did you catch that part about meditating on it day and night? We get the idea of meditation as some kind of a weird yoga, just bending ourselves into pretzels and chanting somehow. That's not what meditating is. When he says to meditate on his law day and night, he means you need to consider it carefully. What does it mean? What does it mean that I need to do? And when we meditate on the law of God, it carries through the day. You do business during the day, that's good. You start considering how the way you conduct business is in comparison to God's law. You lying? You cheating? You deceiving? Is your word your bond? Can people count on you when you say, I'll do this, that you'll do your best to do it? Consider carefully his ways. By the way, this example of the tree planted by streams of water was carried or picked up by the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 17. Look what Jeremiah has to say through inspiration. So obviously it's God that's saying it, is it not? But Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He'll be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. Sounds just like Psalms 1:1, doesn't it? But he carries it further. He says it does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. Think about that. It does not fear when heat comes. For a good part of my life, I was afraid of different things. When I was younger, we moved around a lot, and I always had to, and it was always in big cities, and there were always people there. I was afraid. I took more than one beating through the years. I got older, and then I'd be afraid of this. I'd be afraid of not being able to afford to pay my bills, or afraid of health, or afraid of this, or afraid of that. God says that when we trust in God, and our confidence is in Him, we're like that tree that does not fear when heat comes. Why? It's because that tree is near the source. It has no worries in a year of drought. You have worries? This tree that's planted by the streams of water has no worries. What is the streams of water? It's the man who fears God and keeps His commandments. It's the man who meditates on the law of God day and night. The water is that Word of God. Do you have that in your life? Because if you do, you don't have to fear and you don't have to worry. You have to have no fear in your life of anything except God. In Psalms chapter 112 and verse 1, it starts off by saying, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord and finds great delight in His commands." You ever see those bumper stickers that say, "No fear"? I always think they need to say "no brains." We need to fear God. But if you wanted to change it to say "fear God" and no other fear, that'd be fine with me. We don't have to fear anything when we fear God. But let me assure you, when we don't fear God, when we don't find great delight in His commands, then we have to fear everything. Remember what Haggai told him? It doesn't matter if you're looking at your crops. It doesn't matter if you're looking at your money situation. It doesn't matter. Nothing's going to work. You need to fear. But when you give careful thought to your ways and to the commands of God, even though things won't always just work exactly the way you want them to all the time, you don't have to fear and you don't have to worry. You're not here for the physical. We get to enjoy the physical, do we not? Solomon in Ecclesiastes said, "I realized it was good and proper for a man to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his labor." It's okay to enjoy life, but you've got to fear God first. Then everything else falls into place. Because someday we'll all kneel before God on judgment. If you haven't given that careful consideration, then give it consideration. For those who are outside of Christ, God has promised hell. It is so bad that just the waiting place for hell, the torment of Hades, was such that the rich man looked across and he was in agony, he said, in the flames, and he thought that relief would just be somebody touching the tip of his finger into water and touching it with a drop of water on his tongue. He thought that would be relief. And then he begged for somebody to go and warn his brothers, so that they wouldn't come to that place. Why? Because they weren't giving any more careful consideration to their life than he was. But for those who do, there is paradise. There is peace. Peace not only for all eternity, but peace now. Are you accepting that? Are you a Christian? The pattern is very clear in the New Testament. We're to hear the Word, consider it carefully. We're to believe it. Jesus is Lord, the Son of God, is our confession. We're to repent of our sins. I know I've been doing wrong. I'm going to do my best to stop it, and I'm sorry for it. We're baptized. We have our sins washed away. You realize there's no other way to have your sins removed? We're told baptism washes away your sins. There's no other way in the New Testament to have your sins removed. But once that has happened, then you walk in the light. You consider your ways. And now when you sin, you can repent. You can go to God on His terms and the sins are gone because you're in Christ. But you and I really do have to give careful thought to our ways, because someday we'll kneel before God. And no matter what else happened in this life, no matter what our successes were, no matter what our failures were, the only thing that will matter is, am I saved? Are my children saved? Are my loved ones saved? Are you? If not, and you'd like to do something about that, we'll help you become a Christian today. If you'd like to study, we'd love to do that with you too. If you need the prayers of the congregation, that offer is certainly open. But if you have any needs, won't you come forward and let them be known while we stand and sing?